The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and it is Saturday, October the 1st, and it is the second day of the 41st Ryder Cup. It's underway at Hazeltine National, and we're going to go to Frank Bassett right away because Frank has been there all week getting ready for the competition, and then, of course, yesterday's first round. And as we speak, live to you right now, Patrick Reed sinks a three-foot birdie putt on the very first hole for his team, Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth. It should have been for a win, but unfortunately, Sergio Garcia put a birdie in right ahead of him. So they're all square after one hole. We'll give you the leaderboard coming up in just a second. Frank, set the scene for us a little bit. Another crisp but beautiful morning there outside of Minneapolis, right?
Well, you just took my thunder. Thank you.
Oh, it is. Sorry.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Tim. It's a beautiful morning here in lovely Minnesota, Chaska, Minnesota. And it is crisp every morning, but it warms up. It got hot yesterday. We were all donning jackets and pullovers, and everything went away. Yesterday afternoon, it got hot. And then very quickly, it got cool again. The sky is absolutely crystal clear. I'd give you $1,000 if you find one cloud, which you will not. And they're on the course, and boy, it's a little more tension today than yesterday. Yesterday, the excitement was just electric, I believe I said yesterday. But today, it's a little tense because, you know, with a 4-0 lead going into the afternoon rounds, and then now we're 5-3, they went, uh-oh, wait a minute. So everybody looks a little more serious out on the course this morning as we're watching them tee off, and everybody's on the course now. So it's great. We went to a fabulous restaurant last night on the lake and had dinner and bumped into some friends. It was Jordan Spieth's entourage. So had a blast with all them, and we pulled our tables kind of close together, and everybody talked and laughed and had a good time. Jordan wasn't with them, of course. He was with the team, but it was his family and everybody else. So yeah, it's exciting up here, man. It really is, Tim.
As you said,
you can hear it in my voice. So
the score is 5-3, U.S. leading, and that came after yesterday's morning matches, which the U.S. swept. They were up 4-0. The Europeans came back and had a near sweep of their own, winning 3 out of 4 matches in the afternoon. So that's where we stand right now, at 5-3. And here are the matches that are out on the golf course. The first group up, Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson, are 2 down to Rory McIlroy and Thomas Peters on the 5th hole. So we'll see if Fowler and Mickelson can do what they did yesterday morning, that is come from behind like they had to do a couple of times against Rory McIlroy. The second group is Brant Snedeker and Brooks Koepka, who played very, very well yesterday afternoon, and they are 1 up on the 3rd hole over Henrik Stenson and Matt Fitzpatrick. And Darren Clarke, the captain of the European team, split up his dream team of Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose. So they're split up this series. And today, at least in the morning session, they're the guys who split yesterday with playing together with Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed. So they got a point for the Europeans yesterday. But right now, Stenson is down 1-0 to Snedeker and Koepka. All square in the final two matches. That's Jimmy Walker and Zach Johnson against Justin Rose and Chris Wood, the rookie. They're all square, and also all square, as I just mentioned, Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth match birdies on the first hole with Sergio Garcia and Rafa Cabrera Bello. So that's where we stand right now. 1-1 and 2 are all square. So some great golf. And as you said yesterday, Frank, it was tense as all get out, considering a lot of these guys have been through it before, including Phil Mickelson, who's the veteran of this team. And you said that he said afterwards he was as tense and nervous and anxious as he's ever been for a Ryder Cup, which is kind of surprising for a 46-year-old.
By the way, let's back up for just a second. Chris Wood. You know how big Chris Wood is? We talked about this in pre. You know,
big guy.
6'5", 200 pounds. 6'5". You were laughing yesterday. You said he was towering over over
Jimmy
Zach
Walker.
Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, he looked
Jimmy
a lot
Walker,
bigger
yeah.
than even 6'5". I mean, I would have sworn he was 6'7".
Yeah.
A very tall guy for a golfer, especially. So,
call your buddy Cuban. Maybe you can get him on the team, you know, play for the Mavericks.
You have to remember, too, that there are half the team in the Europeans, and this is worth noting, half of them are rookies. So Darren Clarke, with a lot of inexperience and a lot of younger players on this team, And so far, they're holding their own, but that's a gamble that we'll see if it's going to pay off or not. The U.S. team only has two rookies on it, so a big difference there as far as experience.
Well, the U.S. team stressed out. I mean, I say that. I shouldn't say it that way. They look a little stressed out this morning. Ricky looked very, very tentative on the first tee, and I guess you would be. I mean, this is big-time pressure. Phil made the comment yesterday that this is the most pressure he's ever felt in a round of golf, ever. And I went, what? Really? I couldn't believe that, but I guess it is because we haven't won in so long. And, this is exciting stuff, though. I can't wait to get back out on the course.
By the way, we're talking
about
Phil.
And by the way, guess who's walking into the booth?
I get it. We'll get to it in a second. I'm watching Phil Mickelson.
I'm just excited to see him.
Phil Mickelson, for the second day in a row, hits a right-handed shot. He was just up against a fence and had to hit another right-handed shot on the fifth hole against Rory McIlroy and Thomas Peters. I don't know. It's things you never see are happening in the Ryder Cup.
Go ahead.
Who do we got?
They are. But guess who just walked up and sat down? Take a guess. Give you three guesses. Go.
Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, well, that's wrong.
Oh.
Go again.
Bob Bupka.
Right on, Timmy boy.
Holy smokes.
Welcome in, Bob.
Thank you.
The
God.
Man,
thank
the myth, God. The legend. The guy I try to pattern myself after. What is that noise in the background? Are you got a disco phone going off again?
Don't worry about it. Bob, how you doing this morning?
Anyway.
Doing good. Actually, we rolling?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're on.
Oh, we're on. Oh, better yet. I'm getting a strange feeling that, you know, all indications leading up to this Ryder Cup that Phil Mickelson was having a little bit of a bigger role than just as a player. He played poorly yesterday in the foursomes. Ricky Fowler, somehow they, you know, were able to escape a lot of bad places, but actually didn't hit the ball well. And then he puts him out first again with Ricky Fowler this morning. And as you were talking about just a minute ago, Timmy, he's forced to hit a shot right-handed. Balls are going here, there, everywhere. That first match is so critical. Overnight I was thinking, wow, it's 5-3 United's position to be in. With two now. The first match... It's 6-3. If it doesn't go to the U.S., it's 5-4. And boy, there's a world of difference between those two. And Wilson's going to prove me wrong, but the way he's swinging right now, compounded by the fact that he had his instructor on the range moments before going to the first tee, they were making adjustments on his stance, his alignment, his grip. I mean, I'm saying, holy mackerel. You better dance with who you're bringing to that dance, young man, because you're not going to find it on the range.
This is not the time to make changes in your golf swing or your grip or anything. You're right, Bob. We're at it. We're in it. This is the Super Bowl.
Whatever your swing thoughts are and whatever way you're hitting the ball, just be comfortable with that and go to the tee. I mean, if you make changes on the range minutes before you go to the first tee, then what are you going to think on that first tee? Are the changes going to work, or am I going to hit it the other way? Not a good sign. So we'll wait and see. Proud to say the weather forecast, absolutely incredible. The amount of spectators here for this Ryder Cup, just over the moon. And every person you meet is nicer than the other one. It's no longer going to a Ryder Cup. It's really has become going to a Ryder Cup experience. If you love golf and you're listening to this show, make plans. I mean, if you really want to treat yourself, make plans to go to France.
Absolutely.
In 2 years. Talking to Thomas LeVay, one of the better known French players, and he said ticket sales are going to be up. Upwards of 65,000-70,000 spectators for France. Plenty of room, big golf course, only a few miles from Paris. Boy, what a trip you could put together. Visit Paris, see the Eiffel Tower, and then go see Ryder Cup. Wow, I think that's a pretty good trifecta.
And not to mention the great wines that they have in that country.
Best in the world.
Best in the world. I'm going. I can't wait.
Wow, you know about the wines.
I took 3 years of first-year French.
Well, there you go. I'll go with you then. We won't get lost, that's for sure. But, you know, the people at Minnesota, and they really have come from all over the world, so it's not just people from here, but when they turn up and it's 5:30 in the morning and it's cold and they're sitting in those bleachers on that first tee and it's going to be 2 hours before they get the tee off, it's quite a sight to see, Frank.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yesterday, by the way, Bob and Tim, well, if you look at our Twitter account, at Golf Talk America, we've changed all the photographs because the Guardians of the Cup, the boys who are out here in the yellow and bright blue outfits, picked me up and held me sideways, and they took a shot of it. We were out there with them again yesterday. I walked past and I said, Frank, come on. And so I've befriended some folks that are European fans, and they're not belittling me because I'm such a huge USA fan. So everybody's really getting along here. It's great sportsmanship, which is what it's all about. Bob, you alluded to that on your show, the grill room on TuneIn. And it is. And Nicklaus said it in his opening statement at the opening ceremony that he and Tony Jacklin together on the stage talked about sportsmanship. I hope we can maintain that. It's all this summer.
Oh, that's the important thing. And a lot of chants on that first tee. Arnold Palmer, Palmer. I mean, it just tugs at your heartstrings. Such a giant in the world of golf, gold, and a twinkle and a smile on his face, and golf like no other individual has ever golf. And it was just a pleasure and honor to spend time with him, interview him numerous times, and every one of those. Hey, Arnold Palmer's U.S. team to victory, but this is a pretty good European squad, and as broadcasters, I'm going to admit to being a little selfish. I would just love to see it with about four matches to go tomorrow, it being all even.
Hey, by the way, just to keep everybody updated, Jordan Spieth just sank a birdie putt on the second hole, and they go one up. So Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, one up on Garcia and Cabrera-Bello on the second hole, thanks to Jordan Spieth's birdie putt. Great approach shot by Patrick Reed. And we're joined by Bob Bupka of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And Bob, I believe you said this is your 16th Ryder Cup that you've covered?
16th.
16th.
Yeah, my 16th.
And if I understand you correctly, are you questioning Davis Love's decision to lead off with Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson? Do you think that's not necessarily... Because that was part of the whole Hal Sutton thing, was the question was asked of Phil Mickelson, how much of a role do the captains really play? It's really about you guys playing golf. And he said, well, they actually play a pretty big role in a lot of decisions they make. Do you think it was a wrong decision for Love to start with that twosome?
Well, let me clarify that. When you check in, especially at a Ryder Cup, and you get your media credential, along with that credential, everybody in the room thinks that they're a genius, and then you start thinking that you have all the answers. And when I say that he made the wrong decision, it doesn't mean a thing. I'm in the same boat, though, along with Davis Love, because here's how it works quite simply at a Ryder Cup. Davis Love puts Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler out first. If they win, everybody will say, boy, I tell you one thing, you got to admire Davis Love. That was a super move putting them out first. If they lose, everybody will say, why did Davis Love put those two guys out? So it really has nothing to do with the decision. It has all to do with how they play. They play well and win, great idea. Play poorly and lose, bad idea.
By the way, just to keep everybody updated, I just said what happened with the Spieth group, that they're now one up. Well, we're talking about Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson leading off, and right now they're getting buried. After six holes, they're three down to McIlroy and Peters. So, and Frank, we've been talking about both the European and the American teams, but the European team, a lot less experienced. Six of those players, half of them are rookies. But so far, they really haven't been playing like rookies, have they?
Well, you know, Tim, when you take a real closer look at the rookie situation on that European squad, one of them happens to have a green jacket hanging in his locker. I mean, so if you want to call a Masters winner a rookie and you're playing the sport of golf, you know, I think he's a little bit better than your traditional rookie. And quite frankly, Matthew Fitzpatrick, a former U.S. amateur champion, so plenty of experience in match play. You know, it's hard to say, you know, in the true sense of the word, sure, he's a rookie, but his talent is immense. And the third one belongs to Thomas Peters. He's only 24 years old. You're 100% right in referring to him, Tim, as a rookie, but he's an extremely talented player. I think he's destined to be a superstar. I mean, he hits the ball a country mile, seems to have pretty good nerves with that putter. So, you know, you can make a strong case for at least half of the six rookies on that European squad. And then you have the ability to couple them with an Olympic gold medal winner in Justin Rose, the claret jug winner in Henrik Stenson, Rory McIlroy, the best player in golf right now. And, you know, that's how you can balance off the rookies. I don't think being a rookie is really a problem for the European side. Darren Clark doesn't think it's a problem. I got to go with him. He's the captain.
Yeah, but think of this. Thomas Peters, rookie, but he's a Mike Small rookie. He's a product of Mike Small, one of the best teachers in this country in collegiate golf. So
he spent 2 years here, right?
He sure did.
So
he sure did. Mike Small is a fabulous instructor, a teacher, coach, and he's mentally tough. Thomas Peters is mentally tough.
Well, I would say Mike Small, you know, if you talk about the top collegiate golf coaches in the country, you know, you have to put Mike Small in that conversation. I agree with you, Frank, one of the best. So he's working with a tremendous talent like Thomas Peters. So I think maybe in the media, guys, we talk too much about, you know, whether it's guys a rookie or not a rookie. Really all depends on how he plays. Phil Mickelson's playing in his 11th Ryder Cup, and, you know, he's hitting the ball all over the yard. I mean, if you just beam down from another planet, you might think that Phil Mickelson's a rookie the way he's playing. Oh,
it is sad to see it going on out there.
Hey, Bob, I was curious,
guys,
too.
I was just going to say, Tim, it's so much fun to be part of your coverage of the Ryder Cup, Frank, and you, Tim. You do a great job, and I appreciate you having me on. And I must go, though. I got a free breakfast waiting for me, so I gotta go have some breakfast anyway. Bob, hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
All right, Bob, we
Bupka,
appreciate it.
Bupka from the Grill Room. Yeah, Bob's great. I love having him on. He's a guy I look up to. Thank you so much, Bob.
And Bob does a lot of cut-ins for European radio and a lot of outlets all over in addition to his
doing
show
a lot, yeah.
On TuneIn. So, yeah, he's got a lot of – we're lucky to have gotten him for a couple of minutes. I'll give you an update on the leaderboard, what's happening here. As I said, the leadoff team of Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson not playing very well. Their breakfast is not sitting well with them. They are three down through six holes to Rory McIlroy and Thomas Peters, but everything else is actually looking fairly well. Snedeker, Koepka are now two up on Stenson and Fitzpatrick. Walker, Johnson are all square with Rose and Wood. And the final pairing of this morning's session, Reed and Spieth, are one up through three holes on Garcia and Bellows. So right now, leading in two, the U.S. is. They're tied in one, and they're losing one. So as it stands right now, a lot of golf to be played. Things aren't looking too badly, but as Bob was referring to, you kind of like to get that leadoff team like yesterday morning with Speed and Reed. You like to get that leadoff team getting a point in there, at least, and it looks like it's going to be a real uphill battle. I'll tell you what, and Frank, you were saying earlier that Rory looks like he didn't get any sleep. We don't have any idea what the reason might be, whether he was celebrating too much or he just was so nervous he couldn't get any sleep. It could be either one. But I'll tell you what, if Rory gets in a Rory mode, which he did yesterday afternoon, nobody can beat him. I mean, let's be honest. He is just such a phenomenal talent that I think there's only maybe Dustin Johnson could match him if Dustin's on with his game. The combination of power, irons, and short game around the green and on the green, Dustin might be the only one who can match him on the U.S. team, because Rory gets into that mode and you might as well just give up the point.
Well, the only thing Rory needs to do is concentrate on his putting. Everything else is there. His putting has been his Achilles heel this year. So if he gets his putter going, we're smoked. I mean, he's going to win every match he plays.
And yesterday in his final, the final match for them, remember on the was it 16th hole, he closed out with a nice eagle putt from about 15 feet that he had to go downhill, yeah, very fast putt. He sunk that one. So, and then he bowed to the crowd. I mean, he's kind of playing it to the hilt. But that's the drama of it, too. I mean, that's what's kind of great about Ryder Cup. It's not just these guys are outside of themselves. Most of the time, you don't see that emotion. And since Tiger Woods has been out of the game, you really don't see the same emotion we used to love from Tiger after he'd make a big putt and pump his fist and do all the things he did. You haven't really seen an awful lot of that. But in Ryder Cup, even the most quiet, sedate guys, if it's Jimmy Walker, Zach Johnson, Brent Snedeker, you see these guys get really excited. There's so much adrenaline pump that's what makes it fun to watch these guys because the excitement comes out of them.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the excitement and being here at Hazeltine, being here at the 41st Ryder Cup. Guess who we ran into yesterday? Oh, you won't guess. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Michael Jordan.
He's always there, isn't he?
Was in the house. In the house, man. There are a lot of celebrities here. This is big time golf, and the celebrities who love golf are all here. So, yeah, this is going to be a great day, fun day. Zach Johnson just did something. I'm looking at the Jumbotron. Let me ask you this, Tim. You're sure watching it on television. We're here. What's it like on TV? What are they highlighting on TV?
I think they're actually doing a very good job of capturing the moment, if you will. They're showing replays of old Ryder Cups. So Sergio's been in a lot of them, and some of it almost looks like you're looking at Ben Hogan. And it's amazing that the quality of video, isn't it, Frank? I mean, in the last 10 or 20, 15 years with HD TV and everything else, because you see some of this old video that's not that old. You know, it's from like the 90s.
Right.
And it seems like it's from the 1940s. So they're showing some of that. So that's kind of neat. You get caught up in the past and what's happened before for some of these guys like Sergio and Phil that have played in a lot of Ryder Cups. But mostly they're capturing the moments of every group that's out there playing. And again, the emotion that I was just talking about, they're focusing an awful lot on the superstars, and that being Mickelson, Fowler, Rory, and Spieth and Reed. Those are the video that you're seeing is mostly those guys. You get a little bit of Rose too and Garcia. But the cameraman, the networks, in this case NBC, obviously loves Rory McIlroy because they love what he can do on the golf course. They also love the fact that he shows some emotion. He gets excited about it. So
yeah,
if you're watching on TV, you're going to see a lot of Rory. Good or bad, he's doing, they're going to show a lot of Rory.
Are they showing Tiger Woods out there on the course?
No,
at all?
Very little. No, very little.
Wow.
I've seen very little of Tiger at all. Actually, very little of the captains. Early on, they spoke with both Darren Clark and Davis Love, and that was about all we've seen of those guys so far. Haven't seen much at all of any of the
Bubba?
Assistant.
No Bubba?
Not any Bubba?
No Bubba.
Very little, and I can't say I've watched every minute, but they've shown very, very little of the captains, and they've just, you know, they've got great aerial shots of Chaska and showing the outline areas, and then they zoom in on the golf course, and it just looks beautiful. It's kind of the perfect time. I grew up in the Midwest in the Chicago area, and Minneapolis a little bit farther north, but it's a great time of the year because it's crisp. It's cooler than a lot of people might expect it to be. Probably it was in the 40s or low 50s when they teed off. Everybody but Patrick Reed, by the way, wears a sweater when they tee off. And to start this in the morning, Patrick Reed is like a Green Bay Packer lineman at Lambeau. He goes out in his short sleeves and he is not going to put anything on, by God. He's like, he's showing how tough he is. Everybody else is, you can see their breath, you know, on the first tee. It's cold enough to see their breath. Not Patrick Reed. It doesn't matter, man. I'm just wearing my golf shirt. That's all he does. And so far, he and Spieth have been playing pretty well.
Well, as I said at the top of the show, we went out to a fabulous restaurant here in Chaska last night on the lake, whatever, and ran into Spieth's entourage and talked to all them. Got a shout out to my boys at the Azalea House, azaleahospitality.com, because they've been feeding us and housing us and taking us to tournaments because they want to be more involved in golf and with us and with Golf Talk America, and they're behind us. So thank you, azaleahospitality.com, Azalea House, Marcus, Billy, and Chris. Great guys. So as a plug for them, because they're helping us, if you have any needs for any special events, bucket list stuff, whatever, check out azaleahospitality.com.
Hey, azaleahospitality.com. Update us on the man from the stands, the 15 minutes of fame man from North Dakota who sank the putt during the practice round. Where's the status on him? Suddenly everybody and their brother wants to talk to this guy, don't they?
David Johnson. We talked to David yesterday. He was coming over for the interview, and we said, what time? And we didn't get a response. Out to him via text yesterday again, no response. So we reached out via phone this morning, talked to him, and it seems that the Ellen DeGeneres show has contacted him for an interview, and they want to fly him to New York, and they ask that he not do any other interviews.
Really? He's that hot a property now, huh? Suddenly he's Donald
Trump.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain one thing to you. Never underestimate the power of the Azalea House boys. They're going after him. And
really?
they have a lot of things they can give away to people.
Pulling something out of the hat, huh?
Yeah. No, he had promised us the interview prior to making that commitment to Ellen. So we've gone back to their people now saying, look, that interview was promised to PGA Tour Radio, Golf Talk America, prior to his making the commitment to you. So we expect him and you people to allow him to live up to his word. So we'll see what happens this afternoon. We'll see.
But we'll see.
He's a hot property, man. He is a hot property.
Who wants
to be on TV when he can be on Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio, PGAtour.com, right?
It's no choice for him. He should make that easy call. Hey, by the way, here's another update. Spieth and Reed, I'll tell you what, you can't separate these guys. They're the best couple in sports. Spieth just hit another bomb of a putt, about a 20-foot birdie putt on the third hole. So they've got birdies on two of the first three holes, and Spieth and Reed are now two up on Garcia and Bellows. So it's kind of matching, if you will, the opening to some of Fowler and Mickelson not playing so well. The last foursome, or in the last foursome, last twosome for the U.S., Reed and Spieth making up for it. So we'll see maybe what happens in between there. Could be the difference in who's got the lead at the end of the morning session and who doesn't. And by the way, another update, Thomas Peters on the seventh hole. And the seventh hole, Frank, is a par four that – there's a lot of water in this golf course. It would be. Minneapolis, Minnesota, 10,000 lakes.
10,000 lakes.
Big lake on the right side. And then if you hit through the fairway to the left side on number seven, there's a creek. And it looks like that's what Peters did. He hit through the fairway, kept it out of the water, or at least the lake. But it looks like he might have gone into the creek on number seven, which would be a big break. Ricky Fowler then hit a great tee shot right down the middle. So that might help a little bit to ease up on that three down score that Fowler and Mickelson are looking up at right now.
Gosh, I hope so, because we do not need to lose the first match out this morning. Bob was absolutely correct. You know, 5-4 is different than 6-3.
Even if they can split it, if they can get back and square it, would be a bonus. I think at this point they're looking like they're in bad shape. And again, Rory, if you remember Ryder Cup, was it two Ryder Cups ago in Chicago at Medina? That Rory got out of bed and got to the tee within like 5 minutes of being disqualified, and rips went down the middle and went on to win a point. So maybe Rory's strategy is he doesn't sleep. He doesn't need much warm-up. He doesn't.
That's a good point.
He comes out looking rough and ragged from yesterday, and he's playing great golf again today. So maybe that's Rory. You know, the young bodies at 25, 26, they can do it. Phil needs all the sleep he can get.
Oh, that's brutal. I do too. Yeah. My voice is about gone. I'm exhausted from just cheering and hollering and just talking all the time. And there's a ton of media here, an absolute ton of media covering this.
It is a major event.
It's a major worldwide event. Yeah, absolutely. We're having fun. I wish you were here, buddy.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe next time. We'll get there next time. We'll go to France. Let's go to France.
Let's do it. I bet our producer, France. Bobby Raymond, would like to go to France, take his wife. Of course, Bobby, you know, he's leaving for Hawaii tomorrow.
Oh.
So he'll be gone next week.
Good for him. Well,
yeah, I know. Leaving for Hawaii. That's where he honeymooned, by the way. Bobby Raymond
and his lovely
bride honeymooned in Hawaii. So he's going to be playing golf at a couple of fabulous golf courses, or at least one fabulous golf course in Princeville, Mackay, out there. They're going to make some arrangements to have him on the course. So there you go.
I don't know if it means anything to you, Frank, but I might be going to Waco tomorrow myself. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Waco.
So I got some big plans myself.
You're going to Waco, Texas. All right.
Something crazy will happen.
Bobby's going to Hawaii, and I'm stuck here in Chaska, Minnesota at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I think I lose that one.
I think you lose. Bobby wins the big prize.
Yeah.
I'm second, you're third. As Matt Kuchar said, he's never been happier to place third in a golf tournament in his life from the Olympics.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. All right, we're going to wrap things up. And so, again, the leaderboard looks like this. The Europeans leading in one match, 3-up. The United States leading in 2 matches. They're 2-up in both of those matches, Reed Spieth and Snedeker Koepka, and all square in the match between Walker Johnson and Rose and Chris Wood. So right now, U.S. team looking pretty good. Again, they're leading 5-3 after yesterday's first sessions. And today, day 2 in the morning, they'll go at it again with 4 more matches in the afternoon. So a lot of golf still to be played. And we'll be back with you at the beginning of the week and wrap things up and let you know how things finished up. It looks like, no matter how you slice this, it's going to come down to Sunday's singles matches like it always does. And that's when the drama is going to be palpable. You're really going to be able to tell how tense these guys are and how much pressure there really is on these guys as they play the individual matches. And even at that point, don't have anybody to rely on. It's just all up to those guys, one-on-one, Americans against the Europeans. All right, should be fun. Frank, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks so much for everything you've done out there. A lot of work for you out there at Chaska to cover everything that we've been covering and getting all the interviews that we got. We'd like to thank Bob Bupka for coming on with us as well. Have a great weekend there, Frank, okay? Enjoy it.
Thanks. Thank you. I'm going to love it. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Everybody, join us next time right here on Golf Talk America. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll see you then.